Welcome to Baby Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, sex, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Reesa Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and Easy Dad, Jim Zulie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My partner, Reesa, is doing a, she's working on a interview, or what is it called? She's trying out for a part, I think. I have to keep up with Reesa. She's so busy all the time. But anyway, I'll tell you what, it's been really an interesting week, and, you know, we all wrapped up with the expo. The expo was amazing. It's one large area down there, just the west wing of the Los Angeles Convention Center. And the Abilities Expo, Jerry O'Brien, networker on wheels, amazing gentleman. He's just an inspiration to these people. It's just, you know, it's amazing what they all accomplish. And, you know, going through all the situation we go through, meeting so many interesting people, it's a whole, you know, it's a whole topic in itself we'll touch on sometimes, how the children people had, the baby boomers' kids, and how they affect the lives of the parents, and vice versa, you know, whatever the parents bring them through and what they're involved in. And then what the, you know, like, one of the kids might be into art, and he winds up traveling the world, showing his art exhibits, and the parents come along, and it's just opening up so many doors. Like, I've been to a lot of events with Eric, and I'm standing there talking to Richard Dreyfuss, because Eric had an interview with him, or we'll be on the golf course down at the Donald Trump golf course in Rancho Palos Verdes, and Eric was involved in a situation down there, and here I am talking with Rosie Greer, who, you know, a lot of these people don't know who, you know, the younger people just don't know. It's like, I've been to a couple situations where I've been with Bill Medley, and I've shared that, and they go, who? You know, Bill, who? Bill Medley, the Righteous Brothers. And they, you know, it's the generation gap. They just don't know. And there was all sorts of people down there, but there was also a lot of people that were celebrities in TV shows today or motion pictures, whatever. And I really didn't know who they were. And I'm not about to run into Clark Gable or Cary Grant, but, you know, that's my point, is the generation gap. And but they'll say, you know, Dad, you know who that is that we're sitting with somewhere, and it turns out to be somebody that's really big in the music business.
Easy Zulie and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Presenting NetworkAroundWheels.com, a groundbreaking networking website that provides businesses and nonprofits with free thumbnail advertising if they uplift and inspire, as well as give back to their communities. For more information, please visit NetworkAroundWheels.com.
Okay, guys, we're back. EasyWayBroadcasting.com, which I think most people have heard that by now. Anyway, you know, like I was saying, I don't want to ramble on, but it's just, you know, I was thinking that and talking to other people that were basically my age, and we're sharing how we wouldn't be at the certain event, we wouldn't be talking to so-and-so, whatever, if our kids didn't introduce us to the situation. So anyway, now I was going to go into a little, again, I talked to several people, got calls about, you know, certain mistakes people have come back and said, if only. But before I do that, do we have a caller on?
I'm here, Catherine Coven Pacino.
Well, what the heck, Catherine? I was just going to, you'd get to hear my little lecture on think before you act. Have you ever been in that situation?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Well,
I mean, I'm just learning about this generation's music and everything, so I know how you feel. And yeah, I do know who the Righteous Brothers are.
Ladies and gentlemen, Catherine Coven Pacino, and we've known Catherine for years and years, and I just ran into her at our Scent Expo down there. And Catherine, you know, this is another situation I was kind of surprised. Now, the little gentleman, and I'm talking about little gentleman, that was with us, and he was sitting chatting with you a little bit. Now,
right.
To some of the younger people, they go, oh, there's so-and-so. But, you know, it's like, I guess I'm a little out of touch. But you did recognize who that was, right?
Well, you know what? I only because I've seen pictures, but I wouldn't have known him by his name.
No.
You know what I'm saying? He's one of these people that
yeah.
I would have, you know, I you know the face, but you don't exactly know the name. I'm from a different country.
Yeah.
But
well,
I have to say it was great to see you and Eric, because Eric was one of the first people to help me out when I was first came to do red carpets. He was so generous, you know. So he's such a good guy, and you know, you two together are a team.
Batman, Robin. You know, it is. You've seen the transition, and you kind of have to keep up with that with acting and so on and so forth. With like Rethana has the show with the tech, that she has the tech time. Now, are you pretty much, does this help you in your career and everything? Are you keeping up with all the Facebook, Twitter, and so on and so forth?
I do have a Twitter account, but I don't use it all that much. I don't know, would you believe I don't know anything about Instagram yet? I'm just learning. I do keep up basically with Facebook. Facebook is a whole different animal, but unless I'm really pushing something, I don't tweet. But
do you have a Twitter account?
Unless I'm really, really pushing something, you know,
outing
something that I'm doing, I usually don't tweet. But my, you know, a lot of the people that I'm around, many of them much, much younger, and they're pulling me in very slowly into the 21st century.
Yeah, there you go. Do you have a Twitter account?
I do have a Twitter account, yes.
What's your Twitter account? We'll get people to tweet you.
Okay, it's at K. Coven Pacino.
At K. Coven. Well, that's pretty simple.
And then there's another one, and also at Coven Pacino. But look it up, Catherine Coven Pacino, and request, put in a request for me, and I'll, you know, I'll welcome you into my little fold.
Yeah. Isn't, you know, Catherine, isn't it kind of like you learn how to do a certain situation with the text or Twitter, and then you sit back and go, oh, I can do that, you know? I'm updated with my phone, and I've got the old-fashioned flip phone I had for a long time, and you just dial, and now I have all the icons and all the stuff on there, and I'm thinking, you know what, I can do that. Well, I was at a restaurant, and I saw this guy, he had been in his mid-80s, and he's sitting there reading a book, but he's reading it off an iPad by touching the screen, and the page would turn, and I'm thinking, you know, there's no reason for us not to be able to keep up with this stuff, you know?
Right.
So,
well, you know what? It's only going to get more intricate. It's not going to go away, so we might as well learn it. Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a stat I had. One-third of the 195 million Internet users in the U.S., 50-plus represent the web's largest group, you know?
Wow.
And two-thirds of the 50-plus buy from retailers. So, and what is the other one? 47 to 65, the age group, spend 27 hours per week online, and 89% of seniors have personal email. So we are involved in this stuff, you know? I mean,
yes.
It's not like we're just, you know, sitting, you know?
Right, exactly.
But,
you know, because we're seeing the importance of it, and we get to be communicated with our kids, because a lot of us have grandkids or kids that are living away from us, or they're in college or something, and this is a way to stay in communication with them.
And, you know, I was talking about earlier how our kids affect our lives. And you probably ran into this over the years in the acting business where you've seen parents in how their lives were affected on their travel, on their finance, whatever the situation, because their kids are involved in either acting or whatever. You've probably seen that in acting, I suppose, right, where they're trying to elevate the whoever it is, their son or daughter, in, say,
right,
music or acting or whatever.
Right. I was never that supported by my parents to go into this business. My dad was in the jewelry business. He expected me to follow suit. I worked for him for a very short time. That was my very first job. But I didn't, that isn't what I wanted to do. So consequently, when I left home and came into this business, I was on my own. So Eric is, I hope he appreciates whether he's got a father that's really behind him. I'm sure he does.
No, it does, it does take you around, though. It's like, you remember Rosie Grier, right?
Yes.
Okay, because it was in our generation, even though maybe you weren't into football, but just the name, you know. And here we are out on a golf course with Rosie Grier, and yet a lot of people his age didn't know who that was, you know. It's just a generational thing.
Right. But, you know, it's a twofold thing. It's like, we don't know a lot of what their people are, you know, coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you really, really, really are involved in everything that your kids are doing. You know, like you probably know a lot more people than I do because you're working with Eric, you know. So.
I'm kind of meeting him. You know what I mean? It's like there was, he was doing an interview with Akon, and I wasn't that familiar, but people say, you don't know Akon as well. You know, he wasn't born when we were, yeah.
I don't know.
And you know, it's like our movies. Do you remember the movie High Society, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra?
I know the name. And by the way, when you mention Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra, that was like religion in our household. My mother was so madly in love with Frank Sinatra, along with hundreds of thousands of other women, right? So I know all his songs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the movie High Society, 61, I think it was, and, you know, like, Eric or any of his friends be listening to this, they'd be yawning. But, you know, for people our age, it kind of rings bells, you know? And, yeah, like, when I started a show one time, I said, here we are, what is it, March of whatever, 1965. And they'd all of a sudden, like, oh, yeah, I remember, where were you in 65? But, you know, I was watching this movie on TV, and it was, if you remember the boat in the movie with Bing Crosby and Princess Grace Kelly.
What?
They were in love, and the boat was true love. And they would, and while I was watching this movie, and this couple was sitting at the side of the pool, and they pushed a boat out in the pool, and the name of the boat was True Love. And I'm thinking, what? Well, it turned out it was the original High Society from like the 30s. So,
wow.
You know, we weren't the, isn't that something? We weren't the only ones. I mean, this stuff, the actors that we know that our kids don't know, well, I'm not familiar with a lot of them that were in the 30s. So, you know, it just goes on and on. So what have you been doing? I mean, over the years, like, you've noticed a change. How do you take the change in the way movies are, with half of it being computerized? And, I mean, this has taken some adapting with you, right?
Yeah. The problem that I'm finding is it's very age-oriented. If you're not under 24 years old, you're going to have a much harder time. Luckily, my rules just changed. I could be the great aunt or the grandmother or the mom or, you know, a teacher, lawyer. You know, I can play those roles. But I'm also, it's very techie right now. You know, if you go on, you know, any of these sites, if you don't know what you're doing, you're lost. And that's where I'm having a hard time. You know?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's like that in the business world too. You know, I mean, the people that aren't keeping up with tech—that's Eric's expertise. They come to him, and these are notable people from the past. They're like icons, and yet they call him up, and, you know, how do I go about doing this or that? And they could reach out to 80% more if they knew what they were doing, you know. What are some of those, you know, what are some interesting little tidbits you had when you were on stage and surprises or people you've worked with that you find that were kind of stood out? Because, I mean, you've got a lot of time on stage, and I don't know if you ever thought about Broadway and that, but what were some of the interesting little tidbits you could share with us?
Well, to be very honest with you, I've never done Broadway stage or anything like that. I would love to be able to do that, but I'm basically more into film, you know. And all I can say is I have learned from other people just focus, focus, focus. Never give up, no matter what, because you never know when, you know, your turn is going to be. And unturn every stone, because you never know where that door is going to open. And when one door closes, another door opens.
That's for sure.
You just never know. I mean, look at where he first started out, and look at where he is now. And also, I think another thing that he's got going, too, not only is he very techie, but he's a very generous person that's helping people. And, you know, here, you know, and when you the universe
gets
back.
You remember the bloopers? You know, like the bloopers now, they make an actual show about it, and they, you know,
right.
it's funny. It's Jackie Chan when he does a jump and he falls, and he's rubbing his head, you know, and then they have to take it again. Yeah. Oh, it is, yeah. People can't wait to see the end of a Jackie Chan movie because they show us bloopers. Well, I have a tape, or I had one, and I lent it out. And it was with Ronald Reagan and Clark Gable and all those people. But it was very rare because it showed their mistakes and the bloopers they made. And you know what? They tried to cover them up real fast, and they were upset that they made a mistake. Ronald Reagan would... he was getting dressed one time and he couldn't get his arm in the sleeve, and he said blankety blank, and then they say cut, okay, we'll redo it. And today they'd be laughing about it, you know, but there was a lot. It was, we're not used to seeing that, you know. You're not used to seeing Clark Gable or Cary Grant. You saw him in the movie, and they didn't push that stuff. They didn't exploit
right.
it, you know.
But I think when those things happen, it humanizes people. And this is why reality shows are so popular, because people want to see what's real, you know.
Yeah.
It's great to see all the polished and scripted things, but there's something about when a person, you know, screws up, it humanizes them, because we all screw up in
That's
real life.
Exactly. Yeah, when we do little videos and they mess up with their line or something, and I keep that on film because that's the funny. Now, have you had situations like that where you're doing a scene and, you know, you kind of blooped it a little bit, take two, take three?
Yes.
How many takes? What's Catherine Pacino's ultimate number of takes before she got it right? Okay,
well,
Catherine, take 20?
No, don't do 20 no matter what. When I did Holy Hollywood back in the 90s, you know, which is like a, you know, it won a film fest award years ago. I got it right the first time, but they still did 20 takes, but they wound up taking the very first thing that I did. However, there are other times where it takes a few times. It just depends on how... You know, sometimes you have things happening at home or things happening with your family where it takes you someplace else. So it all depends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We lost you a little bit there with signal, but we got you back. Now, do you, when you're doing a shot with something, you know, do they allow you to improvise much? Like, say there's a line, okay, I'm leaving and I really don't want to see you again. And whatever, you know, and then you storm out of the room and, you know, say, okay, cut. But if you feel like there's something that might come across a little better, do you run into that where they allow you to makeshift the lines? Do you come across that at all? Or?
Once in a great while. But the problem is with that, and I prefer improvising because it's more natural, but the problem is with your writers, sometimes it's like a big insult if you want to change things
around.
Oh, I
get you.
So unless you go to them first. But I love when a director says, okay, this is what's happening. Okay, just do it. And that's when you get your most natural take. In my first
Well, of course, I've done shows where everything is, you know, I wrote everything out and then I'll just kind of toss it aside and just when you talk, it comes out natural. You know, it just kind of flows. Who in particular, is there any particular producers or directors that you find is easier to work with than others that are maybe a little bit more strict and you find like, oh, this is going to be fun going to work today compared to that
the
guy
best?
I used to work with, you know?
Let me tell you something, Doug. The most innovative director that I have worked with, and this is when I was married to Sal Pacino, okay? He did, he and I did a nightclub scene for, what was that, it was with Mike Nichols was the director, and it was, remember when Robin Williams played, it was The Birdcage, and we were they just let producers do what they wanted to do, but to do naturally, you know,
We're kind of losing you, Catherine. Your signal is cutting out. But
Is that better?
We got you back. So, but it is. You must wake up in the morning and think, oh, good. You know, like you don't mind going because the people you're working with on stage. Because I've heard these horror stories where either the co-star or the producer director. And they, you know, it was just a nightmare for them. And then other times, they just love working with the cast and everything. So that has to make a difference, even the way you perform.
Exactly, it depends on who's in that cast. You know, I did one thing with Gary Busey. Okay. You know, Gary Busey is like different personalities. Very good actor, but not easy to work with. Okay.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. That was Mansion of Blood. And I have sat down with Gary Busey through other people and actually had dinner with the guy. And he's like a very, very, I would say, a bipolar personality, in my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? It could be you know, a double, triple personality. You never know when he's going to go, like, off on you. So I don't like walking on eggshells. I don't care who they
are. No. You might say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden, that's really strange. When it's, especially when you see someone on, you know, that plays a certain part, and the general public thinks that's the way they are, you know, and because they're just playing a part. And then when they actually see them, they're surprised, like, "Whoa, that's the same guy," you know.
Right.
And, but that's the way it is, you know. They're acting a part.
But you know, I'm just very thankful to God that I'm working in an industry where I enjoy, where I want to be. And I'm not doing something that's drudgery to me because I've had those kind of jobs. You know what I'm saying? I worked for an entertainment business CPA where it was like drudgery, you know, because that's not what I wanted to do. And then I also worked, you know, as a makeup artist and also with styling and things like that with people like Revlon and doing things with Estee Lauder. That was at least fun and creative, but it still wasn't where I wanted to be.
Well, you know, it's new waters. I mean, it's like you're an example of what we talk about. You keep going, you keep moving, and you and Bill's such a great, how's Bill doing? Is he
healthy and well? Bill's getting a little bit better every day. He sends his love. He has to heal. He's going to be on, you know, just one leg for probably another month or so because he broke his ankle in two places, and he also shattered his knee. So.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he was in the
And how did he do that?
He was, you know, a friend of ours who's president of the Real Cowboys. Took him up to this mountain, okay, or to this this great big hill where the Western are filmed, okay, where the original movies were filmed with Iowa Silver and different ones, and there are ravines and hills and everything. So he fell forward, but in trying to protect his knee, he like broke his ankle in two spots. So he has a lot of hardware in there now, but it has to heal. And then after that heals, he's looking at a knee replacement.
You know, baby boomers out there, people that, in our age category, and again, I know we have listeners that just, they roll their eyes, you know, but we're talking about Cisco and Pancho, the Lone Ranger, Hopalong Cassidy. I mean,
right.
We could go on if I thought a little bit. There's, Nellie Bell, the Jeep, remember? I don't know, Sky King and all that. But the old Westerns. I remember I met that one gentleman. I was supposed to meet with him out in the valley somewhere where you guys meet, I think, right? You meet at a restaurant, and it's all people.
Robert Lancier, he's the president of the Real Cowboys. And one thing that we're going to be doing this September, I think it's on the 18th or the 19th, it's going to be that Friday, we're going to do the 60th anniversary of Gunsmoke at the Sportsman Blog.
Keep me informed. I mean, I want to talk to you afterwards. I want to get in on this, okay? Because I still watch Gunsmoke, Cheyenne with Clint Walker. I mean, you know what it is, Catherine? I think that stuff kind of takes us back, and it's relaxing, you know? Because when we watched that stuff, we didn't have this issue, some of the situations we have now with all the stuff going on. It was a very relaxing time back then in the 60s, and we watched Gunsmoke and all those. God, there's so many, you know? All the old
and
Westerns.
All
but I would,
all those people are icons now.
So where is it that you're going to meet at? I mean, what's the date of this situation coming up?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be, I know last year was on the 19th, so it's going to be either on the 18th or the 19th. It's going to be that Friday of the second week. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but we are looking for sponsors. It's going to be at the Sportsman's Lodge, and it's going to be the 60th annual anniversary of Gunsmoke. And by the way, now, James, I'm glad we're talking about this. The Real Cowboys, go to realcowboys.org. That's R-E-E-L, cowboys.org on Facebook. We're going international now. Yeah.
Oh, so, well, you know what? So cool, because we get input from people, and this is a worldwide thing. People love that old cowboy stuff. And I think a lot of it's going to be resurrected, a lot of these, because we love that. I mean, you know, I don't know if they still run a lot of that stuff, but it's like new material that's getting picked up in Europe and everything. And I think it's just going to get bigger.
The Europeans love it. They, you know, because especially like the Chinese and of course, a lot of people are very, very much into it because that's how they think of America starting out.
Oh, the old cowboy shows. I mean, you can't beat it. So, you know what? Now, that's going to be out in the valley on the 19th?
Right. Well, it's going to be, that's in Studio City, okay, at the Sportsman's Lodge. And I'm pretty sure it's the 18th. It's going to be the 18th and the 19th, around that Friday. Okay, because I know but I will have Robert Lancier, the president, who does the Silver Spur Awards every year. I will have him contact you. Okay.
I want to get down there. I've enjoyed Gunsmoke so much that I want to give back.
and see
you guys again. Tell Bill to hobble over there, and I think that's what it does. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, is he there?
He is. He's in the other room.
Well, tell him I said hi.
James said hi, honey. He says his love.
You know, Catherine, we talked about this, and it's not like you don't want to get out and do things, but you kind of, if you're going to do them, baby boomer guys and gals, you know, do them and think a little bit, you know, that certain jump on the ski lift or whatever. Because hurting yourself at 20 and at 65, you know what I mean? It's, you just got to be a little careful because you don't want to do your retirement with a problem, you know. but Bill's going to heal up fine. He'll do.
Unfortunately, we don't heal as quickly as when we were in our 20s.
As quickly. Yeah, yeah. No.
I'm not a person I don't take a whole lot of chances like that. But I
no, you got to be. No, exactly. And Eric even mentioned that we don't do much, but as far as going out and that, but it's just you know.
I don't believe in tempting the hands of fate.
Exactly. That's kind of what he said. He said, well, Dad, if we go up to Big Bear, he doesn't want to break a leg or something, you know, then there's, you got to think about what it leads to. But anyway, I'm going to, we got to wrap up coming up here, and I want to follow up with Robert, and I was supposed to meet with you guys earlier, but we never got together, and he was talking about doing a show regarding the war, the planes from, I think it was World War II, recreating a situation.
I know which one you're talking about, right.
Flying Tigers or whatever it was.
It's about the Flying Tigers, right, exactly.
Yeah, that really sounded interesting.
I've got the original script, okay?
Wow. And the Tuskegee Airmen, I've talked to a couple of gentlemen that were involved with that group. And, you know, I mean, if we're going to have interviews and talk with these people, we kind of have to move along because, you know, they're getting older. But I want to go down there, and I don't want to miss this. I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I'll bring a camera, and maybe we get a little bit of it, you know, get a little footage of it.
By the way, James, the Real Cowboys meet the first and the third Saturdays over at Big Jim's restaurant in Sunland. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We do have a Real Cowboys meetings, breakfast meetings from 9:30 until 12 a.m. at Big Jim's restaurant in Sunland.
Well, that's what I was doing. That's why I missed you for a second. I'm trying to get all this. But you know what? It's not like I can't call you back after the show. It's like, I better write it down because I never get a chance to. No. Okay. So, and that's, now you do that every week? Every weekend?
We do that the first and the third Saturdays.
First and third.
And third Saturdays. Go on Facebook at the Real Cowboys, R-E-E-L Cowboys. .org, and also try.com, and press, you know, it will show you about the Silver Spur Awards. It will show you about how to join, where we're located. Big Jim's is over in Sunland on between Sheldon and Laurel Canyon. It's on Laurel Canyon on the corner of Sheldon.
That would be, you know, that would be a good a baby boomer quiz. Okay. All right, I'll hit you with with one real fast, Catherine. I'll put you on the spot, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Catherine, give me the seven dwarfs. Clock's on, go.
Okay, let me see. It's Sleepy, oh, my God.
Uh-oh, Catherine's in trouble.
Oh, my God, I feel horrible because I should know all that stuff.
Okay, sleep. How about Sneezy? Because that's where I'm at now.
Okay, there you go. Sneezy, what was it?
2 out of 7, Catherine, you're doing good. No, I got a picture of the baby boomers going, oh, here's one. Dopey?
Okay, you're going to have to name the rest of them because, you know what, I'm just like at a blank.
Okay, we'll get you off talk. Sleepy, Sneezy, Dopey, Doc, Grumpy, Bashful, Happy. There's the seven doors. Now, I hope you don't come back, name seven old Westerns, because I'm going to have to review those. But I'll tell you, it was, it's going to be, and what I want to do is I want to come down and film a little bit of this and get some of this up. About, you know, what's going on with the Real, R-E-E-L, Cowboys. That's clever,
right.
You know?
Yeah, but the fact that we're going international now, it's very, very
that
exciting.
Is cool.
And then Robert Lanthier is going to do it like an umbrella type of thing where we're going to be building a studio, we're going to be making movies under another umbrella, you know. So it's going to be very, very exciting.
Let's get together because.
And please don't forget to text me your direction number so that I can have them call you.
Sure, sure. And, you know, we have the largest studio in Orange County. We're all hooked in with that. So maybe we could put something together here. And, you know, you definitely know Eric's International. You know.
Oh,
so
yeah. But I'm not surprised because he's brilliant with, you know, contacts and hooking up people. I mean, that's his forte. I mean, he loves what he's doing, and that's all part of it.
I'm going to make a suggestion that we have a little section on his broadcasting with all the channels and stuff he has, and I want to put in a little section with this particular scenario we're talking about, Westerns and archive stuff and so on and so forth. I don't know, you know, I don't even know what happens to some. I know they show Gunsmoke and, you know, Clint Walker, he's still, they do Cheyenne and some of them,
right.
But some of them I think have been lost in the archives. Cisco Poncho, I haven't seen them since I was a kid, and a lot of those situations, but that would be fun. And we will do a video with you guys. In fact, I'll get you and Bill pulling up on a horse, you know, and he can hobble over. And we'll do a little interview with you guys and Robert, and we'll just do a little sit down and tell us about what's going on and everything. It'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
I think it would be great.
I mean, what the heck?
Hey,
I mean, you know, it's
and yeah, a lot of these people today, these young kids today, they'd love the Westerns if they saw. You know, I'm sure a lot of them are, and we get a lot of young people that are always interested in that.
Yeah, so that's just it. They enjoy it. In fact, I've been into some places where, you know, young restaurant, and they're listening to oldies music because you can hear the words, and I know it sounds corny because, you know, everybody's generation is better, but, you know, but they do. They, you know, like, they hear the story down by the coal yard that flows by the whatever, Patches and all that, Dream Lover and all those songs, because they can hear it, you know. So that's what we're going to do. I have all this stuff going through my head, and I don't know if we can actually show scenes of some of that stuff because I know you have to have the rights and all that kind of stuff. But I think that would be it. And then what we could do is we'll have a traveling thing where we'll get some of the, do you still have touch with any of the old actors that may have been associated with some of that stuff?
Because
I think Robert used to make saddles.
We honor these people. And
That's
what the Silver Spur Awards are about every year. We honor those who have been in, the Westerns. Last year we honored, Stephanie Powers. She's actually done Westerns. The year before that, we honored John Voight, Robert Wagner, Lou Gossett Jr., and these people were actually there. You know what I'm saying?
And then
people have presenters and all that. It's a huge honor for them because, you know.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I had a little interview. I don't know if you saw it. You can look it up. Jim Zulli, Lou Gossett Jr. interview. We were just goofing around. He's a great guy.
Inner city youth. Very nice. Very generous guy.
Well, we ran into him at the Big Turkey Drive with the Jackson Limousine, and it's huge. I mean, it's blocks and blocks of people, and 18-wheelers full of dinners and everything. And we went down. Eric hosted it, and Lou was there. Pamela was down there, and we just kind of chatted in the back trailer there, and just had fun and handed out the turkey dinners and everything. It was pretty cool, and you probably. Been in these, you never know who you're going to run into in some of these when you're going to a charity or whatever.
It is so cool. And what is the children's charity that you guys are connected to?
Well, you know, the Los Angeles Children's Trust Fund, when we had our expo down there where I saw you, Maria Melton. with the Los Angeles Children's Trust Fund, and I really enjoy the working with. I used to know George down there at the Covenant House. You probably you're familiar with the Covenant House.
I know of it because the reason I'm saying is I'm part of Shining Star Kids of America, which is foster children aging out of the system. So, and
cool.
I'm working on that with them too. So I'm on that board of advisors. Children are a very, very important source of what we do because that's our future.
Oh, well, you know, there's just, oh, God, there's so much spinning through my mind, but there's a lot of situations where we're working with the kids. Eric can go over a lot more of the specifics, but I would like to get together with you and go over some of that, and maybe if you're going to be with whoever it is, you know, you're working with, maybe we go down there and do a couple of shots with them. And,
the gal that I'm working with is up near San Francisco. We are trying to get this ranch on in Santa Rosa. We worked on it before when we rented it out, okay, but that was for one summer where I worked with the kids. But the guy is putting the ranch up for sale. What we want to do is whoever gets into that puts it into a trust, and it's for kids aging out of the system. So.
Wow, cool. We work with, like, there's about 31 nonprofits. You can go to the site and see the nonprofits that we work with. But, it's kind of a good feeling, you know, when you run across situations and with the kids and everything, and making Eric, when we work with somebody, we want to actually see what's going on and make a difference. Because, I don't know, and Larry Namer's son and I, we're going to be going to the children's hospitals and talking about the cancer situations, bring more positive to it, you know.
Wow, that's great.
Because we both had those situations.
I'm looking forward to on Monday morning. I'm Rita Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and I've teamed up with Easy's dad, Jim Zuli, to rock your world on Baby Boomers Live. That's right. Every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we will be discussing all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. So tune in to EasyWayBroadcasting.com on BlogTalkRadio.com to see what Jim and I are up to. Your Mondays will never be the same.
Hello?
Yes. Well, Catherine, thank you so much. I didn't mean to take so much of your time, and we went over on the show, but it's just interesting talking to you.
It is so cool. Yeah, I want to tell you something. I'm so glad that I saw this on my text this morning. I'm doing two other shows today. I'm doing Mother Love, and I'm doing Jason Hadley later on.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't have that much time to see you guys, and it turned into kind of a chat conversation, and I'm looking down thinking, oh, my God, we went 20 minutes over the show, but there's still so much we got to fill in on, and I'm going to touch base with you guys after the show, and I want to get up to date and all this kind of stuff.
Definitely.
But thank you for coming on. Say hi to Bill. And we will.
Make sure you text me your direct number, and I will have Robert Lanthier call you, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, my dear, and thanks for coming on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Baby Boomers.
I'm Aubrey O'Day, and I'm doing it the easy way.
I'm attorney Gloria Allred, and I'm doing Hollywood the easy way.
What up, y'all? It's your partner, Big Boy, Big Boy's Neighborhood, and guess what? I'm doing it the easy way. You're doing it the easy way. All of us are doing it the easy way.
Hi, I'm Larry Namer, co-founder of E! Entertainment Television, now president of Meitong Development Group, which works mainly in China. I really wanted to say a few words about Eric Zuli, or EZ, as a lot of people know him. I want to say, Eric, keep up the dedication, the perseverance, and the creativity. You're helping to change the media world.
Jake Busey, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Hey, Oba Babatunde here, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Shifty from Crazy Town, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Yo, this is Ray J, and it's all about doing it the easy way.
Hey, this is Brady Connell. I'm the executive producer of Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and I've decided to do Hollywood the easy way.
Hello, I'm Tatiana Ali, and I do Hollywood the easy way.
Hi, I'm Sally Kirkland, and I'm doing it the easy way.
Presenting NetworkAroundWheels.com, a groundbreaking networking website that provides businesses and nonprofits with free thumbnail advertising if they uplift and inspire, as well as give back to their communities. For more information, please visit NetworkAroundWheels.com.
Thank you for listening to Baby Boomers Live with your hosts, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and keep up with us at babyboomerslive.info. Baby Boomers Live, brought to you by EasyWayBroadcasting.com on Blog Talk Radio.